Thank you for listening to this sermon from Pastor David Mateo. Grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the message.
The sermon from today is from Mark 1:9-15. Some scholars believe that Mark's gospel was written to the poorest Christian communities. They think that Mark's writer was not fully interested in converting his audience to the faith. Rather, it seems like Mark's writer is interested in Christians staying true to their own calling despite the trials. From there, the book begins with Jesus being tested in the desert, shaping his call and faith. The image that we have from Jesus in the desert is the one of a person in the middle of between two forces, between the forces of the dark and the forces of the light. It is worth mentioning that in 1948, shepherds in Israel found 942 manuscripts in a cave near the Dead Sea in Israel. Most of these manuscripts were written between 250 BC and 66 after Christ. Among the apocryphal books found in the caves of Qumran, it was found a document that explains the initiation rituals of the Essene community. In fact, one of the Essenian practices was to bring the new members to live in the monastery they called the desert, to give them education and training for a period of time there in the desert. He renounced it to all kinds of human power. They committed to helping others and doing justice. So what is Mark's point in telling us this story? Possibly Mark wants us to understand that Jesus' faith was not formed, was not shaped in a vacuum or by osmosis. What Mark is trying to tell us is that Christian faith is human. It doesn't begin in the zone of privilege, nor in the abundance, nor in the power. On the contrary, Christian faith begins in needing shelter, migrating to Egypt, needing water and bread. When we take faith seriously, trials and temptations are part of our own desert. For Mark, the church begins and lives between the dichotomy of being, on the one hand, seduced by the wild beasts of the desert, and on the other hand, supported by angels who support us to continue God's prophetic call. But we need to be aware that seduction, that temptation to renounce our prophetic call is continuous and constant. Sometimes our faith trembles by just thinking that the bad guys outside are winning and the bad of the world dominates over goodness. We ask ourselves, it is really worth continuing to believe? It is worthwhile to continue doing good? It is worth continuing to fight for justice in an increasingly unjust world? As Christians, we are bombarded by a system that constantly tempts us to keep silent in the face of injustice and to renounce to our prophetic calling. But tell me, what are the temptations that we face that seduce us to stop being the prophetic church that God expects us to be? What are those temptations? Without a doubt, we are living in a historical moment where it becomes more and more difficult to be a prophet. We are tempted to believe that God has to turn our stones into bread, when the searching for bread corresponds to us, to our work. We are tempted to have God come and solve things for us. We are tempted to stay in praying and do nothing else for the AR-15 assault rifles to don't continue to be sold. No way. the regulations of weapons and guns needs to happen down here on earth, specifically in Washington, D.C. God will not come to do it. It is our duty to do it. We are tempted to pray for God to change the government for a less racist one. But no way. Citizens are the ones who change government. That is human responsibility. We are tempted to spiritualize everything and hold the devil responsible for our indifference and lack of participation, for our own apathy. We are tempted to want to solve all the problems of the world. We want to be God. We are tempted to believe ourselves as the only ones with the truth and to subject others to our own belief system. We are tempted to respond to our opponents in the same way they treat us. We are tempted to believe that the solution to the problem of politicians is to put another politician. In the end, God expects us to be faithful. It is not bad to be tempted, nor is it a sign that something bad is happening to us. Simply, being tempted is the opportunity to affirm our faith, to continue doing the work we do, and tell those who commit injustice that the world doesn't belong to them. Today, we are being tempted in our own desert. It is until new victims appear in the news that we begin to denounce politicians who do nothing to regulate access to weapons and arms. It is until a few occur to discriminate against others, it is when we start a desperate response. It is until somebody gets hurt, a child is molested, a woman or man is abused, that we flood our messages with messages our social networks. We have become a reactionary society and an imperceptibly church. We react viscerally, and we delay in being cause and not effect. Contrary to John and Jesus, they went straight ahead. John and Jesus proposed it. They went to the root of the matter. They did not succumb to the temptations, and they were willing to do anything for justice. Maybe it is time to go back to our roots. Today, we leave this place following the example of Christ. We are receiving the support of this group of angels sitting here beside us. We are receiving their affirmation, their words of encouragement for us to speak out and to move forward. Yes, it does worth continue believing. It does worth continue doing good. It does worth continue working for justice. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. We'd like to know more about you. Please email Reverend David Mateo at dmateo@unitedchurch.org.